Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Rhett McDaniel, educational technologist here at the center. This is the second installment of a two-part podcast covering the observations made during a CFT conversation on teaching on the topic of teaching outside the classroom. In this episode, we feature Professor of Earth and Environmental Sciences, David Furbish, as he reflects on his experiences teaching courses that involve a field component.
The first question, how do you balance formality and informality in managing group dynamics? First and foremost, we set the field trip up as a research project. That's how we think about the actual day in the field. And then in class, far in advance of actually going to the field, we develop a very particular idea in class that we're going to focus on. In the particular example that I am giving you, the general topic is how a hill slope evolves over geological timescales. That is, timescales much longer than human timescales, like tens of thousands to millions of years. That's the general topic. And of course, because hill slopes are most of Earth's terrestrial surface, it's a rather important topic in the field of geomorphology. And we examine this idea of hill slope evolution, theoretically, in class far before we actually take the field trip. And that theoretical examination of this topic of hill slope evolution includes things like, well, near and dear to me, conservation of mass is something that we have to start with in the sciences. That actually, in fact, leads, that development of conservation of mass actually leads us to a theoretical model of hill slope evolution. And that model looks like what we call the diffusion equation. And the kids, before we ever go into the field, they actually solve that diffusion equation using data, real data, from previous experiences in the field. So they have a sense of what the field trip is going to be about before they go. At least 2 weeks before we head to the field, we begin to develop the rudiments of very specific hypotheses based on what we anticipate that we will be seeing in the field. And so I describe this like to them, and we begin then to, based on their theoretical understanding of hill slope evolution, we begin to develop very specific hypotheses. Now, they're not completely developed because we haven't actually seen what it is that we want to measure in the field. But when we go to the field, we have a very clear plan. We know where we're going, we know what we are going to measure when we go, and we know completely why we are going to measure. So it's like setting up a really nice research project, right? You don't begin to collect the data until you have a very clear vision of why you are collecting the data and the data that you really think are essential to test your hypotheses. So when the students go into the field, there are very clear expectations and objectives. They're articulated well before the trip, and then we reinforce them during the trip. When you're in the field on a beautiful day like today, there is, of course, the risk of being sidetracked by a bit of everything. And one of the things that I want to stress in terms of my experience in success is that instead of it being a show and tell where the students, you talk about a little bit about everything that you've talked about in class and a little bit about everything that you see in the field, no, you let it aside and focus on the thing that you've agreed to focus on. And let the other stuff be icing on the cake, the teaching moments, the asides. Key, in my experience, is if the field experience is data-driven, and that's clearly what Steve, I think, mentioned in his presentation. And there's a very important reason why something that is data-driven is key. Students take ownership. It's their data. They're going to analyze the data. The expectations are that they're going to use those real data, oh gosh, which have all the funkiness of real data,
as opposed to theoretical data, the idealized. They get to see the real thing that has all the craziness of real data. And they have to struggle with that uncertainty that goes with real data. But that's part of taking ownership. And then what they do is they bring the data back with them, and they have a very clear outline of what they're going to do in terms of analyzing the data. In fact, they use the same theoretical analysis that they previously used to analyze their own data set. And then they couple that with additional field observations that we see in the field. Of course, along the way, being an earth scientist, we enjoy the beauty and the little cool stuff along the way. And I think that speaks to the second question. How do you create teaching moments? Well, with a deep, booming voice. But I'm also going to add another point. Sometimes goofiness is a good thing. So this is a little acorn top, right? It's hard to not find them in the woods. And before we leave, all of the students learn how to take a little acorn top and do this. So my feeling is that given they really enjoy learning that level. And given that we have what I think is probably one of the most beautiful and cool university logos in the nation, including the little acorn, my feeling is that all Vanderbilt students, and for that matter, all faculty, should be encouraged to learn how to blow the top of an acorn to make it whistle. Okay. If the students are focused, and then those little goofy asides pointing out the beavers in the beaver dams, that sort of comes as a nice added bonus, but without detracting from what you're focused on. Kinds of assignments, well, that comes back to my suggestion that a data-driven project is healthy because it gets that ownership or the students buying in. Assessment of learning, the students are expected to provide a report, and that report is in a scientific journal style. So they tell the story of what they have learned. They falsify the hypothesis or attempt to falsify the hypothesis that they have developed before and in the field experience. All the things that you would put into a normal journal article.
That was Professor of Earth and Environmental Sciences, David Furbish. You can view the show notes, as well as leave comments or questions about this episode, by visiting cft.vanderbilt.edu/blog/podcasts. If you'd like to share your thoughts on the topic, we encourage you to stop by our website and join the discussion. Vanderbilt instructors are also welcome to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT teaching consultant to discuss teaching strategies for your course. Thanks for listening to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast. I've been your host, Rhett McDaniel.